So I've entitled this message, Believe and Believe, subtitled Christianity 101 and Christianity 102. Does the Bible tell us to believe and believe? Isn't belief enough? Well, it's belief. Belief is enough, but the Bible does tell us to believe and believe. We read of this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John writes, these things have I written unto you that believe. He's writing to the church, to those who are born again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe and believe. Right? Believe and believe. Subtitled Christianity 101 and Christianity 102. Those designations came from the University of Buffalo in 1929 to designate different levels of a course. So let's say you were going into college, a freshman, and you wanted to study psychology. You wanted to major in psychology, you'd be taking Psychology 101. The next semester, Psychology 102. And then in your sophomore year, Psychology 201. And then the next semester, Psychology 202. And then in your junior year, you know, right? Psychology 301, 302. Then your senior year, 401, 402. All right. Those are how the courses are designated. And if you were a psychology major or biology major or history major, you would have to complete all the courses. You would have to go from 101 to 402 in order to get your degree, in order to graduate. And so I ask you, what is your major in life? I majored in psychology at one college and theology at another. But that's not my major. My major in life is Christianity. And right there in Christianity is the word Christ, or the name Christ. Christ is to be our lifelong major, our subject. Christianity 101. We're going to look at Christianity 101 and then at Christianity 102. And both are introductory courses, Christianity 101 and 102, to take us further, take us higher, okay? To get our diploma, to graduate into heaven. So what is Christianity 101? Very simple. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, we have a God who loves, he is called love, and he gave his only begotten Son, that is Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I'm going to give you some of Christianity 101. I'm sure I could give you more verses, but just enough that should suffice. For God so loved the world. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Right? So why do we need to believe? To be saved. Right? Salvation. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why? Because Paul says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. That's eternal death. But the gift of God, again, for God so loved the world he gave, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? All of this, Christianity 101. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, right? Grace is not of yourself, salvation is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Christianity 101. Okay? This is what we tell people who have not heard of Christ, or have not really heard the gospel. We present to them this simple introductory, these introductory scriptures. Mark chapter 1. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Again, believing together with repent. Repent and believe the gospel. And here's a good example of repentance. Okay? It's changing your mind and changing your direction of life. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed, here are first-time believers, hopefully wanting to master in Christianity, in the Lord Jesus Christ, having him as their master. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them about 50,000 pieces of silver. They burned their bridges, you could say, to their past life. Repentance is not holding on to anything in your past. No sin in your past. It's letting go of it all. Christianity 101. In Romans chapter 4, and therefore it was accounted to him, that is Abraham, for righteousness. What? Faith. When he believed, he became righteous. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed or given, okay, charged to him this righteousness, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That is righteousness and right standing with God, justification. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. The judgment does have a part to play in Christianity 101. Okay? That we all must die and stand before God, give account of our lives. And that is why when the Apostle Paul was speaking to Felix, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Tell me about faith in Christ. He did not know anything. And so Paul brought this introductory lesson to him in just a few words here. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. So here we see a big part of Christianity 101. Righteousness, Felix, you have none. But when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will impute his righteousness to you, and judgment to come. But you notice he also spoke of temperance. Now an unbeliever really knows little of temperance, not true temperance. An unbeliever needs to learn more about temperance, because temperance is a work of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul spoke to Felix of first righteousness, you have to get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then, that's Christianity 101, and then temperance, the work of the Holy Spirit, would be Christianity 102. You have to yield to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not too many newborn Christians bear much fruit of the Spirit, mostly joy at that time, but you have to learn temperance. And then there comes the judgment of God. So Paul was telling Felix, it's not just Christianity 101. It's not just believing, but believing and believing. Believing that your sins can be forgiven. Believing that Christ can fill you with his Spirit. And you can shine, as we talked about last week, with temperance. And again, if we're not self-controlled, patient, kind, loving, we're not shining. Christianity 101, those verses we just shared with you, and again, there are others, introduces the good news to people. The gospel is good news. That's what the word gospel means. It presents it simply, that the wages of sin is death, that we are sinners, we will stand before God and be judged, but God has made an escape for the sinner through Jesus Christ. So Christianity 101, that simple gospel message, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, presents the good news. But so does Christianity 102, 201, 203, 301, 302, 401, 402. It's always the good news. Always the good news. So what happens to the believer in Christianity 101. What happens when they first put their faith in Jesus Christ? When they first believe? Romans 8:35 tells us of something that happens in Christianity 101. Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, that is the atoning sacrifice, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. The moment the vilest sinner truly repents and puts his faith in Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the sins that he has or she has committed are gone. They are forgiven. They are forgotten. What else happens in Christianity 101? Therefore, being justified by faith. So the moment we put our faith in Christ, that very same moment our sins are forgiven, they're confessed, they're repented of, and that very same moment, you don't have to wait. That very same moment, we are justified by faith. We are made right with God, as if we had never sinned. Of course, that goes together. If he's going to forget your sin, as he says he would, then it's as if you never sinned, because he doesn't know your sin. He puts it away. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have, second thing now, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are justified, made right with God, made righteous. We become the righteousness of God. And we have peace with God. Here he's not talking about peace from God, but peace with God. In other words, we're no longer fighting God. We're no longer at war with God. We're no longer struggling with God. By faith, we are now on the same terms with God. We are now friends of God. Galatians 2:16, the apostle says, yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because the works of the law, no one shall be justified. This is Christianity 101. Something interesting about the Galatian churches. There were many churches in Galatia which had backslidden into legalism, into Judaism. You can't even say they were stuck now in Christianity 101. See, God does not want us to be stuck in Christianity 101. Just believe, to have our sins forgiven, and to be made right with God, and to be called as righteousness. He doesn't want us to be stuck there. Well, the Galatians weren't even stuck there. They had dropped out of school altogether because Paul says, you have fallen from grace. And that's what happens to many who just want to have their sins forgiven and then go to heaven. The Galatians were not even stuck. They had fallen from grace. Oswald Chambers said, when I begin to be satisfied with where I am spiritually, instantly I begin to degenerate. And that's what happened to the Galatian churches. Why did they degenerate? Into bondage, as Paul said. Why do you desire to be in bondage to the law again when you've been set free by grace? Why they became spiritually satisfied where they were. And they fell from grace. When I begin to be satisfied with where I am spiritually, and hopefully none of us are satisfied with where we are spiritually. You might be in Christianity 301. And if you're satisfied there, you're going to degenerate. You're going to start acting like you're a freshman. You cannot be satisfied even if you're in Christianity 402. You can never be satisfied where you are spiritually. We must always go higher, climb further. And so the Galatian churches had degenerated because they were content with their spiritual level. And Paul, in chapter 4, verse 19, is pushing them on out of their backsliding back to Christianity 101 and beyond. my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. The formation of Christ does not take place in Christianity 101 or 102 or 201. It begins with the formation of Christ is an ongoing process. And Paul's saying, you've lost that image. You've lost the formation of Christ. So that's what happens to a person in Christianity 101. Secondly, in John 16:27, not secondly, but we fall in love with Jesus. The Bible says faith works by love. And here we see, in John 16, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. You have loved me and believed. Now, believing comes first. Can't love him. Maybe you can and then believe, but we love him because we do believe. Faith works by love. And so when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to fall in love with him for what he has done for you. Something else that happens in Christianity 101 to the person who puts their faith in Christ for the first time: for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That very moment that your sins are forgiven, that you're justified, that very moment you become a child of God. As childhood, sonship, daughtership of God is not something you work on to get. It happens when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Something else that happens, and I'm just giving you some of the things that happen when a person puts their faith in Christ for the first time. Hebrews 4:3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. You enter into a place of peace. Again, that struggle with God is over. You enter into a place where there's peace, where there's rest. Galatians 6:11. Another thing that happens to those who put their faith in Christ for the first time: but you were washed and you were sanctified, you were set apart. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of your God. You were sanctified. You were made separate from sin, from the world. You were made, in a sense, holy. You are wholly his now. You no longer belong to the world. In Acts 26:18, God speaking to the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus then. I'm going to send you into the world, God said to him, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Every true believer is sanctified by faith. That's the word of God. So what we have so far in Christianity 101 is our past sins are forgiven. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of them. We are justified with God. We are made righteous. We have peace with God. We're no longer at war with him. We fall in love with Jesus. We become children of God and also heirs, as the Bible says, heirs of his eternal kingdom. We enter into rest by faith in Jesus Christ, and we are sanctified or set apart for him. Christianity 101 and any 101 course is just an introduction, as I've said. And of course, wonderful things happen. When I took Psychology 101, my mind was open to things I had never seen or heard before. But it was an introduction to deeper things. And because I enjoyed Psychology 101, I went on to Psychology 102. I didn't drop out. Though there are some teachers that probably wanted to have me drop out. I didn't. Christianity 101. Past sins are forgiven, justified, made righteous. We have peace with God, no longer at war with him, no longer at enmity with God. We fall in love with Jesus. We become children of God and heirs of his kingdom. We enter into rest and we're sanctified, set apart. Paul says in Romans, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Now here we see this master teacher, you could call him the head of the theology department, okay, of our life. He's one of the heads of our theology department. Study of God. Theology is the study of God. Biology, the study of what? Biological things, right? Psychology, the study of the mind. Here's what the master teacher is doing. Here's what the head of the theology department is telling us. That we have access into this grace, the grace that saves us, wherein we stand. Notice now what he says. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. First of all, what is hope? Paul says in Romans 8, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. So when Paul says we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, it's something we don't see. Okay. We stand in the grace of God. We have access into this great ocean of grace. And then we rejoice with hope in that which we do not see, which is the glory of God. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Many who are stuck in Christianity 101, I believe, I'm saved, praise God, someday I'm going to go to heaven. Someday I'll share the glory of God in heaven. Yes, there will be much glory of God in heaven, more than we ever bargained for. But those who are stuck in Christianity 101, oh, I know enough of Christ. I'm like Christ enough. I'm satisfied where I am spiritually. They're only hoping for that heavenly glory. But the Bible says we can have glory here. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The face of Jesus, we've talked before, is the glory of God. Jesus is the glory of God. It's in his face. It's in his person. And the more we become like Jesus Christ, the more of his glory we have. And the more of his glory we can share. God commanded that light to shine out of darkness. It has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So yes, we do hope for that heavenly glory which we cannot yet see, but there is glory which we can see. The Bible says when Barnabas went to Antioch, he saw the grace of God. Now, if someone were to come in our church today, they would see people sitting here, they'd hear singing, but could they go away saying, I saw the grace of God? What Barnabas saw was the face of Jesus Christ in these believers. And he encouraged them to keep holding on to Jesus. Last week we spoke of the resurrection power. Arise and shine, the Bible says. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Tarry in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. The kingdom of God is not in word. I'm not talking about scripture. It's talking about our expressions, but in power, the power of a Christian life. John chapter 11, we see what the glory of God is, resurrection power. Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, take away the stone. She said, Lord, Martha said, this time is a bad odor. He stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see what? The glory of God. Resurrection power. And oh my, how Lazarus, after the grave clothes, even before the grave clothes were taken away, he was shining with resurrection power. Did I not tell you that if you believed through faith, It's believing and believing. You believe in Christ the Messiah. You believe that he came to save your sin-sick soul, that you are deserving damnation. You believe that he has the power to wash away your sins in his blood. You believe, but you don't stop there. Now you believe in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Not just that he was resurrected, but that we can walk in newness of life. We can live a resurrected life. Did I not tell you, Martha, that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? There's Lazarus. There's the glory of God. He breathes. That's the glory of God. He walks. That's the glory of God. He's alive. He that was dead is alive. That's the glory of God. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:9. His desire someday to be found in him, that's on Judgment Day, not having my own righteousness, so Paul's saying, I don't want to slip back, as the Galatians did, into thinking that their good works and their keeping the law is righteousness. No, my righteousness is only Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And we said last week that many stop there. That's Christianity 101 right there. Faith in Christ, not my righteousness. I've received his righteousness. It's imputed to me. Paul didn't stop there. He's not going to stop. He's mastering in Christianity, are we? He's mastering in knowing Christ. He's not going to stop there. He goes on to say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was not going to let himself be a freshman in spiritual things, a novice in spiritual things for very long. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. It's your light. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Okay? You are to go and shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Arise and shine, for your light is come. It's a gift. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Okay? But we have to arise and we have to shine. Those are some of the things that happen when a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, when they become a freshman in Christianity and take Christianity 101. Now, let's look at Christianity 102. Still an introduction. Still not time to graduate. When my second semester of psychology, I think I forgot what I learned in Psychology 101. What happened in Psychology 101? Our past sins are forgiven. Okay. And we rejoice in that, don't we? Because our sins will condemn us. If our sins are marked on us still, we will call for those mountains and hills to fall upon us when we see the face of the Lord. But that's just Christianity 101. Christianity 102, introduction to deeper things. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Now Jesus is telling those who haven't yet entered into the classroom, they're not yet true believers, but he's telling them, when your sins are forgiven, now you must go on to 102 and start forgiving other people their sins and their trespasses. Otherwise, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Christianity 101, we are justified, made right with God, and we are at peace with God. And again, we rejoice in that, because without justification, we'd be damned. Without being at peace with God, we still be at war with him. So we rejoice in our justification, but we do not stop there. We do not acquiesce there, or sleep there, as many do. That's why the Bible says, awake unto righteousness, and sleep not, and sin not. Awake, let's not walk as those who are in darkness. Let us not sleep. Christianity 102, right? Concerning our justification. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And so there are many who come to Christ and they believe, and they're justified without works. Haven't done a good thing, a blessed thing in their life, they just believe. And they're saved. They're justified. But James writes his epistle to let Christians know it's not just 101. That we have to begin doing good works. Works of love. Works of mercy. Works of tenderness and kindness. That's Christianity 102. Still an introduction. Okay. We're still growing in good works. Romans 8, 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now remember, we are justified, Romans 5, 1, we are justified and we have peace with God. We're at peace with God. We're not just justified by faith alone, but by faith that works. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. The moment a person puts their faith in Christ, again, the hostility is supposed to have ceased. And it does cease for that time. Yet James says, if we love the world, we're at enmity with God. Okay? That warfare can start again. We are at peace with God, and we are to keep peace with God. Now imagine this, if you would. Let us say you are enrolled in college, you're a freshman, and you want to choose a major. And you could choose psychology. And there you are filling out the papers, and there's your major, psychology. I want to be a psych major. And the head of the psychology department hears about it. He comes over to you and says, I hear you want to be a psychology major. It's wonderful. We have some great professors here. Wonderful curriculum in this college. Welcome to the psychology department. And then you answer, yes, I want to be a psychology major, but I only want to take psychology 101. Guess what happens? Now there's enmity between you, who wants to be a psychology major, or biology major, or history major, or chemistry major. And the head of that department. You can't major in this. You will not get a diploma in this field. I guarantee it. I'll make sure you won't. All of a sudden, the warfare begins. Not because the head of the department is wrong, but because the student is proud and wants to do it their way. Yes, I want to major in Christianity. I want to major in Jesus Christ, but I'm not going past Christianity 101. All of a sudden, the warfare that was over picks up again, and the battle goes on because of the carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot please God. What else happens in Christianity 102? Well, in 101, we begin to love him. And begin to love him. We don't love him with all our heart. We don't love him as we should when we first put our faith in him. But there is love there for what he did for you. But as we go on in our lessons, as we go on to the next semester and semester after that, we see that our love needs to be perfected. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So when I start forgiving those who've hurt me, when I think no evil of those who have abused me, and love them, then the love of God is perfected in me. The love which began in Christianity 101 now continues in Christianity 102. The love of God, as well as all his graces, need to be perfected in us. Christianity 102. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. That's Christianity 101. They believed on him. If you continue in my word, what is he doing? Again, here's the master teacher. Here he is, he's saying, don't acquiesce in your belief. Believe and believe. Believe on me and believe on me. That's what John said in 1 John. He said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. Believe on him for forgiveness of sins. Believe on him for the filling of the Spirit. Believe on him to assist you in putting on the mind of Christ. Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Then you're really my disciples. Because now you want to master in me. You want to master in Christianity. You want to master in my will, in God the Father's will. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christianity 101. The moment a person puts their faith in Christ, repenting of their sin, they become children of God. Children of God. But Peter says in Christianity 102, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that has to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. See, those who are stuck in Christianity 101, well, I'm a child of God. Praise him, praise him. Yes, praise him. But now become obedient children. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that will be brought to you as obedient children. You don't want to be standing before God as one of his disobedient children, but as an obedient child. This is the command. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And it is ignorance to think that you can master any subject in 101. You cannot. You must go on as obedient children. Yes, we become children of Almighty God, heirs of his kingdom, but we must be obedient in order to possess. You read in Romans chapter 8, verse 7 about Christianity 102. If children, as through faith, then also heirs. We inherit, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Notice, if so be, we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. To suffer with him means to bear the cross. Not complain about your difficulties. Not find fault with God because you've got problems. But to suffer with him. Whatever it is that God allows to come your way, as Job first experienced when he lost all his businesses and lost his health, lost his children. The Lord gives, takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, and all this Job did not sin with his lips. That's why Apostle Paul prayed in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And I said Sunday, Easter Sunday, he had this backwards, it seems, because Christ's suffering on the cross, his death, comes first, and then his resurrection. But Paul's saying, no, first I want to glory or know the power of his resurrection so I can carry the cross and live the crucified life. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, to fellowship with his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, to suffer with him. We are heirs if we suffer with him. Everyone suffers, but are you suffering with Christ? Are you suffering for Christ? Are we suffering with Christ? Christianity 101, by faith we enter into rest. It's a beautiful rest we have. The warfare between ourselves and God is over. The warfare between others is over. Our sins are forgiven. That brings peace. That brings rest. And in 102, as we advance in our knowledge, Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, the Gospel 101 is not just about sin and judgment. It is. It's also about finding rest. It's about coming to Christ. Jesus Christ was drawing these people in with the cords of love. Come unto me, all of you who are laboring under heavy loads, heavy burdens, I will give you rest. I have a gift for you. It's rest. It's peace. All you have to do is come to Christ in faith. Christianity 101. And you will find rest. But then Jesus says this. Don't stop there. Take my yoke upon you. What is the yoke? It's an instrument of labor. Okay? Instrument of work. It's not a couch, not a hammock, not a lazy boy. It's not a bed in which to sleep. It is an instrument of labor. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Notice, learn of me. Let me be your teacher. And let me teach you of me, of myself. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And then he says, you shall find rest unto your soul. So he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and I'll give you more rest, is what he's saying. You shall find rest. I'll give you rest and you will find rest as you labor under the yoke to serve me, to live for me, to be holy and pure. You come to me in faith, I give you rest. Now take my yoke and labor, and you will find rest. He's talking about two rests here. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God gave rest to the Israelites. As they made their journey out of Egypt, they were sought after, hunted down, marching through desert places. Their souls became discouraged because of the way. So God gave them rest. Command in Exodus 23, 12, 6 days shall you do your work. On the seventh day you shall rest. This is the rest God gave his people Israel. That your ox and your donkey may have rest also. And the son of your servant woman and the stranger may be refreshed. This day is a day for rest. But God had a greater rest for them, which they did not enter in because of unbelief. They believed in putting the lamb's blood on the doorposts. They followed God's word exactly concerning the Passover. They marched behind Moses through the waters, through the desert places. He gave them rest on the seventh day, but he had a more perfect rest for them, which they did not enter into the promised land. The Apostle Paul, warning the believers, if he is the author, we know God's the author, warning believers not to acquiesce in just coming to Christ and finding rest or having given rest, but rather put on the yoke and labor into this deeper rest, this perfect rest. Let us therefore fear, is written to the believers, the Hebrew believers. Let us therefore fear, lest they promise being left us of entering into his rest. It reads best in the King James Version. I read in other versions, it reads best here. Let us labor, lest we fail of entering into his rest. What kind of rest, peace did Jesus have? Perfect peace. Perfect rest. Never a worrisome moment. Never an anxious thought. Never. That's his rest. Not just rest. Christianity 101 says, you come to Christ and he'll give you rest. Christianity 2:102 says, listen, there's more. There's more. There's perfect peace. There is perfect rest. There is his rest. So let us therefore fear. And he's actually warning the believers. Don't stay in Christianity 101. You will die there. Okay. Let us therefore fear lest they promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And then he goes on to say, verses 9 through 11, there remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Notice, there remains a rest. There is still another rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into, again, his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his on that seventh day. I'm not talking about us not working on the seventh day. That's not what this is about. This is the more perfect rest. Let us labor. There's the yoke that we are to take. Jesus said, you come to me, I give you rest. But then learn of me, take my yoke upon yourself, and you will find rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. That's very explicit. That rest. His rest. Not just any peace. Though it is given by God, we want the perfect peace, the perfect rest that Jesus had. A worry-free life. And it's possible because Christ commands us not to worry, to take no anxious thought for tomorrow. And what God commands, he gives the grace to perform. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief as the Israelites did and they perished in the desert. His rest. Let us labor. And how? What does the labor consist of? It's right here. For he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. We cease from the works of the flesh. We cease from striving in the flesh. And rather it is a striving of faith. It is fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold of eternal life. We cannot attain the rest of God, that perfect rest, his rest, that rest, until we cease from ourselves and just throw ourselves, abandon ourselves on the mercies of God. Say, Lord, I can do nothing. I can do nothing to please you, nothing to honor you. You have to work in me. We must cease from our own works, the works of the flesh, and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. That's Christianity 102. Peter talks about Christianity 102, introducing us to deeper things. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, what? According to his divine power. The resurrection. That's why the Apostle Paul wanted to know the resurrection power. He wanted more grace and more peace, more rest, more love, more gentleness, more like Jesus, more like the Master, is my daily prayer. And in Christianity 101, we become sanctified by faith. We are set apart. It happens instantly. As with all the other things we talked about, our sins, past sins forgiven. We're justified. We are instantly sanctified and set apart. And the devil would say, great. You can master in Christianity, just remain in Christianity 101. Impossible. We become at odds with God again. Because the Bible says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. He's saying this to those who have been sanctified through faith. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. So yes, in 101 we are sanctified. In 102 we're told we should be further sanctified and live a holy and honorable life. Live a sanctified life. Don't just receive sanctification. Now live it. Live a holy life. It is God's will that we should be sanctified. And so I trust you'll go over these things in your heart and your mind. Remember what the Apostle Peter wrote. I'm going to remind you of that. I mentioned that last week. We have a more sure word of prophecy. That's the word of God. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. In other words, immerse yourself in the Word of God. Don't play around with it. You can memorize it and still not immerse yourself in it. Take the Word of God and let the Word of God drown out the old man, till that day star arise in your hearts, till we begin to shine as we're meant to shine. And so our text today was there in 1 John. Remember what he said there in that 5th chapter, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe for what? Forgiveness of sins. For rest, for peace, for sanctification. We believe on him to become his child. We believe on him to become his heirs. I write these things to you who believe, that's Christianity 101, in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe and believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe on him for justification, for righteousness, for forgiveness of sins, for peace and rest. Believe on him to become his child. But continue to believe. Believe again. Believe more. That you would be obedient children. That I would be an obedient child of God. That I would further sanctification. Live a sanctified, holy life. Believe in laboring to enter into that deeper rest, that perfect peace. You have to labor to get there. Believe. And believe. Christianity 101. Christianity 102. And where does it lead? To our graduation. To mastering. To mastering the ways of Christ in our life. When people hurt us, when people abandon us, when problems come, when the devil comes to tempt, we can master over him if we master the Lord Jesus. We master in Christianity. I'm going to sing a song in closing. I'd like you to stand with me. Higher Ground is the name of the song. My heart has no desire to stay. It's number 549. 549. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. That's Christianity 101. Full of doubts, full of fears, full of worry, full of selfishness, full of bitterness, anger, envy, and jealousy. Though some may dwell where these abound, and they do, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Is that true for us? 549, higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught a joyful sound, a song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand,
my faith on heaven's table and a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray to heaven I found. Lord, plant me onto higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table and higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
As I approach the age of 70 in a couple of years, again, I'll repeat myself more and more, but I like hearing this story. When John Wesley was sailing over as an Anglican clergyman to be a missionary to the Indians, his sailing ship hit a terrible storm, the center mast broke in two, and he was down cowering in his bunk, afraid to die. And then he heard this sound of saints on higher ground. The Moravian brethren, who were going also over there, were singing during the storm. And Wesley said even their children were not afraid. They had all found higher grounds. And that led John Wesley to truly be converted. He wanted higher ground. John Wesley wrote that he and his brother, studying the Bible, him and Charles, they discovered that without holiness, no man shall see God. And that's why it was of utmost importance to teach that, to teach Christianity 101. You are made holy, you are sanctified, but now you have to live that sanctified life. Let's pray. Father, have mercy upon us. There may be someone here today, Lord, that is content where they are spiritually. And like the Galatian churches, they will degenerate. They will begin to fall apart, especially when the storms come. Lord, may that individual or individuals long for higher ground. May their heart have no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. We want to catch a gleam of glory bright and be filled with that glory. And let our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify you, Father in heaven. If not, they will blaspheme you. They will mock you. Lord, in Christianity 101, that man, said Jesus, he laid a foundation. He intended to build a tower, and he laid a foundation, but did not count the cost, and he could not finish it. And all who beheld him began to mock. Mock him, and mock you, Father. We don't want people to mock you, or to blaspheme you. So, Lord, we must count the cost. We cannot just lay the foundation of Christianity 101 of faith and belief and repentance. But we must, as the apostle says, go on unto perfection. We have not attained it, but we strive for it. We count all things as dung that we might win Christ. We stretch forth for the prize and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us to want to live on higher ground. We pray this in Jesus' name, who will help us, who died to help us. Amen. Amen. Amen.